Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of the Bucks postgame show, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. So, Sparky, last night, Vin, you couldn't really see his face in the way he was talking via the radio, but, man, what an optimistic guy. And I don't think he was just blowing smoke. I think he really believes they're going to feed off of the energy at the Bradley Center tonight.
Well, he's going off based on what he saw in games 3 and 4, because obviously there was nothing there in game 5 from that perspective. I think they win tonight. And then, game 7 in Boston, and we'll see if they can figure out a way to motivate themselves to play as physical as they do when they're at home with crowd support. That really is the biggest thing at this point. I don't question whether or not they're going to come out here and play hard and play physical and do all that fun stuff tonight. My deal is, can you do it on the road? Because you're not going on to the next round if you can't.
Last night, when we got into kind of the discussion about game 5, he was saying that, hey, look, he understands that there's people that are upset that Giannis didn't take more shots, but he said, look, when he drove in and kicked it out, he said they had about 20-plus wide-open looks. The shots just didn't fall. So they feel like everything they did was right. The shots just didn't fall. It's just they didn't shoot the ball very well. Do you see it the same way?
Well, they didn't shoot the ball very well, 36%.
Right.
So when a team with a superstar doesn't shoot the ball very well, what's that superstar supposed to do? Continue to pass the guys that aren't shooting the ball well, or is he supposed to do something himself?
No, I agree. I thought Giannis should have been taking it to the rack more and kind of taking that game over himself.
But again, I mean, all right, so you're not shooting the ball well in the first quarter. Well, we'll keep passing, okay? You're not shooting the ball well in the second quarter. Keep passing, Giannis. Don't worry about taking shots. Just keep passing to him, and maybe he'll eventually hit. Now we're into the fourth quarter. You're still in the game with 3 or 4 minutes left. We know they haven't hit shots all night as far as his teammates. So at that point, is it okay then for Giannis to take over, or should he still continue to pass when you're shooting 36% of the team? I love the excuse. It's a great excuse, and he's unselfish, and he wants to get his teammates involved, and I'm all for that. But you are a superstar at this point. Chris Middleton was more assertive trying to get his offense going than Giannis was. Middleton had 21 shots. Giannis should always be in that 15 to 20 range, or more than 20. You're never going to hear me complain he took too many shots. That's never going to happen. So from that aspect, you get to 4 or 5 minutes to go in the game. You still got a shot at it. At that point, somebody needs to go to Giannis and go, your time. Let's go. Put us on your back and let's carry this thing. Let's go win this thing. And it never happened.
When you look at tonight, first of all, I say they can't get down and dig themselves a hole 10, 11, 16, 18 points deep. They can't do it. They expel too much energy trying to come back. Secondly, and we pointed this out, you can't let the officiating get into your head at all and feel like it's you against them. I think they have to get out to enough of a lead that none of that affects them. I think they need to jump out early tonight to gain confidence, and then maybe they start hitting some of those shots, because if they fall behind, I think Boston's just too good. They'll smell blood in the water and they could end this thing quick.
Yeah, I just don't see how the Bucks shoot 36% again. I just don't. I would assume that they're going to be somewhere in the range of 47 to 50% or maybe even better at home tonight against that Boston Celtics team. The thing is you don't want to let them goat you into doing something stupid. You don't want to let them goat you into getting Middleton kicked out of the game because Marcus Morris is messing with them. You don't want to let them goat you into getting Bledsoe or somebody else kicked out of the game because they're goading you into it, pushing your buttons and trying to get an ejection out of you. You don't want that to happen. Everybody's got to keep their heads. It's going to be physical, sure, but don't retaliate and do something stupid. Bledsoe and Rozier got into it that last game. Okay, fine. Nobody got kicked out. But that's just going to escalate now. It's game 6. It's going to get chippier than it was in game 5. Game 7 is going to be chippier than it was in game 6, you'd imagine. And you have to keep your head about it and not do anything stupid. You can't afford to lose a key score during this basketball game when you're going to need everybody on deck to win that game tonight.
Do you keep feeding Snell the ball?
Snell doesn't play. I'm not playing Tony Snell. I've had my fill. Next year's another year. He can come back and play next year. Maybe in the next series if they play Philadelphia, give him another chance. But I understand why they're doing it. Good teammate. Everybody likes him. All that fun stuff. I get all that. And when he's on, he can help you from three. But at this point, you've got to get his minutes to somebody else that can help you a little bit more, whether that be Muhammad, Jabari, or whoever. Somebody else has to get those minutes that can actually help you in some way, shape, or form.
Looking at this team, the way they needed to play more physical, and they did in Game 4, they did in Game 3. They got out to an early lead in Game 3, but then it kind of got frittered away in the later portions of Game 4. Have the Bucks played a complete game in your mind yet?
Probably the closest one may have been Game 3, I guess, as far as you know what you're expecting. They, for me, tonight and Game 7, more importantly than tonight, after what we saw in Game 5, is if they just play the physical, aggressive style of ball that they've showed in 3 and 4, and Jabari can play that same type of defense, and Son can have that same type of effect, they can win both these games. But if it's going to be, again, where they show it tonight in Game 6, and then you go to Boston in Game 7, and you go back to how you've played the other three games in Boston, and you aren't the same team, then they're going to lose Game 7, and that's going to be the end of the series. But if they play the way they've played at home these next two games, they can win this series.
How much do you think the officials, if anything, play a part in this?
Yeah, I mean, they could. But I always tend to say the same thing. When you get to the end of a game, if you're allowing an official to make a call on you, then you screwed up earlier in the game to put yourself in a position where an official can screw you. So there's many opportunities throughout a basketball game where you can look back on and go to different plays and say, well, you blew that opportunity. Well, you blew that opportunity. Well, that turnover killed you. Well, that turnover killed you. And I get the 30 foul difference and all this other stuff, and that is garbage. And I agree with you. I agree with everybody else that complains about the referees. But we're in Game 6 of a first-round series, and you're at home. You can't be worrying about the refs at this point. You just can't. Let Prunty worry about it. That's his job. Let him get kicked out of a game and prove a point. Fine. But as players, you can't do something stupid. A technical foul by you yelling and screaming could cost you the game. Anything could cost you the game at this point. Go in there, play your game, be physical, be aggressive, make the extra pass, and see what happens, and hopefully get an aggressive Giannis at the same time.
I'm talking with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of the Bucks postgame show. Free throws in this thing have been interesting. Boston 99 for 130 in the series from the line, while the Bucks 68 for 100. The Bucks have been called for 30 more fouls in this series so far, which works out to a little bit more than 6 per game. If they start hitting some of these free throws, we could be talking about a vastly different storyline right now.
When you start talking about free throws and differentials, obviously that could be something that comes back to you at the end of the game where you go, my God, you missed 8 free throws in that game. If you make 6 of those free throws, you win this game by 3 or 4 points. And those are going to be big deals for certain on both sides of the basketball, Bucks or the Boston Celtics. And people, it's a funny thing to me that cracks me up is when you look at free throw attempts in a game, I hear more than any other thing during the postgame show is, man, Giannis has to hit his free throws. And he's like, 6 of 9, 7 of 9. Somebody else could go 2 for 5. Nobody says a word. But people expect Giannis to be absolutely perfect at the line. And he does have to shoot better. You know, you want to see him above 80%, probably shooting free throws. But he's improved his free throw shooting as time has gone on. And you can see him get upset when he misses free throws. I mean, you can visibly see him get upset. So making free throws are going to be crucial, especially if you're not going to get as many calls as the other team. You're going to have to make those free throws down the stretch. And for 9 free throw attempts the last game for Giannis, you'd love to see him in double figures this game. Get him up to 10, 12, 15 free throw attempts in a basketball game. Let him get some easy points.
Yeah, when you look at this, and not just free throws, but go back to the last game, I mean, he came out and said he's got to be more aggressive. When he's going to be aggressive on the inside, and you figure he's going to be aggressive, which is going to draw contact, which is going to draw fouls, I mean, that becomes part of the game. He's shooting 65% in the series. That, I mean, even if he gets it up to 10%, that becomes a big part of the game if he is going to be the inside guy and the more aggressor, because they're probably going to be putting him at the line. So those are extra opportunities. You can't trade one free throw for threes down at the other end, because it's just not going to work out. The math just doesn't work out in the long run.
No, you're right about that. And that goes back to playing aggressive physical style of defense and closing out on shots. Somebody's got to tell Eric Bledsoe how to close out on a three. You know, he kind of like walks out there and sometimes puts his hand up, sometimes doesn't even bother to walk out there to defend a three. These guys have got to do a better job on that side of the floor. And all the stuff that I heard was, they play about as good as they've played all year. But that wasn't good enough all year. That wasn't good enough. They have to play, again, like they did in Game 2 and like they did by Game 2, Game 3 and Game 4 in Milwaukee. Be aggressive and be all over them and don't let them breathe. That has to be part of it. And again, coaching changes. Yeah, I'm sure Brad seems to come in with a little wrinkle here, a little wrinkle there, change it up a little bit on Joe Prunty, and then see what Prunty does. Does Prunty make a lineup change tonight? Is he going to try and change things up from that perspective and try and do something different? I doubt it. But at this point, what do you have to lose? It's game six. You lose, you go home. So if you want to change it up and change up the formula, do you put Jabari Parker into the starting lineup? Do you take Eric Bledsoe, put him on the bench, and start Brogdon at the point guard position? That would be a radical change in a game six. Huge. And probably frowned upon by most coaches making such a radical change in the playoffs. But again, at this point, you got to look for something to make Boston react to you for once. And see how what they do with that lineup.
Always good, Spark. Hey, real quick, any idea who the Packers are going to take off the top of your head?
No, I mean, everybody likes Denzel Ward, apparently. Davenport is great. All these rumors about trading up for somebody. If they trade up, I want Roquan Smith, the linebacker from Georgia. That's who I want.
Yep, he's the guy that seems to be targeted by many, and it seems to be also targeted by the Bears. If you can jump up to 7 and grab him away from the Bears, it'd be fantastic. Spark, look forward to it. We'll chat again soon, okay?
Good.
Thanks, pal. Talk to you later. There's Steve Barkey Pfeiffer, host of the Bucks postgame show on 105.7 FM, The Fan, our flagship station out of Milwaukee, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.